Unit 6, Part 2, Development of 4R Skills. Section A, Listening Comprehension. Task 1. Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
Last week's meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, was the third Group of 20 summit in less than a year. Leaders of the major developed and developing economies discussed ways to fix the world financial system. In April, they had agreed to do everything necessary to prevent a collapse. This time they noted their success, but warned that the process of recovery and repair remains incomplete. The presidents and prime ministers launched what they called a framework for strong, sustainable, and balanced growth. At the same time, they agreed to make the G20 the main group, the premier forum, to guide international economic cooperation. For years, that has been a job for the Group of Eight: Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Russia, and the United States. But the G8 leaves out developing nations with big populations and growing economies like China, India, and Brazil. In Pittsburgh, rich nations agreed to also give up some of their representation in the International Monetary Fund, and they called for more voting power for developing nations in the World Bank. Now listen to the item again and answer question 2. Last week's meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, was the third Group of 20 summit in less than a year. Leaders of the major developed and developing economies discussed ways to fix the world financial system. In April, they had agreed to do everything necessary to prevent a collapse. This time they noted their success, but warned that the process of recovery and repair remains incomplete. The presidents and prime ministers launched what they called a framework for strong, sustainable, and balanced growth. At the same time, they agreed to make the G20 the main group, the premier forum, to guide international economic cooperation. For years, that has been a job for the Group of Eight: Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Russia, and the United States. But the G8 leaves out developing nations with big populations and growing economies like China, India, and Brazil. In Pittsburgh, rich nations agreed to also give up some of their representation in the International Monetary Fund, and they called for more voting power for developing nations in the World Bank. Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 3.
President Obama told some of the nation's top bankers Monday that they need to explore every responsible way to make more loans. He said, America's banks received extraordinary assistance from American taxpayers to rebuild their industry. And now that they're back on their feet, we expect extraordinary commitment from them to help rebuild the economy. Earlier, he criticized what he called fat cat bankers on Wall Street. Major banks have been doing well since the worst of the financial crisis shook Wall Street more than a year ago. Banks including Bank of America, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo have recently announced plans to repay government rescue money. New profits and freedom from the pay limits tied to federal aid mean bankers can again receive big bonuses. But critics say banks are profiting mainly from trading activities, not from making loans to small businesses or homeowners. Britain has placed a 50% tax on bonuses for bankers. There have been calls for similar measures in the United States. Unemployment rates are the highest in a generation, 10% nationally in November. An estimated 17% of the labor force either lacks a job or is not working enough to pay all the bills. The weak job market has not only hurt spending, the lifeblood of the economy, it also puts pressure on homeowners who are struggling to pay their mortgage loans. Record numbers have been told that they could lose their homes. Banks are expected to have sent almost 4 million foreclosure notices this year.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 4.
President Obama told some of the nation's top bankers Monday that they need to explore every responsible way to make more loans. He said, America's banks received extraordinary assistance from American taxpayers to rebuild their industry. And now that they're back on their feet, we expect extraordinary commitment from them to help rebuild the economy. Earlier, he criticized what he called fat cat bankers on Wall Street. Major banks have been doing well since the worst of the financial crisis shook Wall Street more than a year ago. Banks including Bank of America, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo have recently announced plans to repay government rescue money. New profits and freedom from the pay limits tied to federal aid mean bankers can again receive big bonuses. But critics say banks are profiting mainly from trading activities, not from making loans to small businesses or homeowners. Britain has placed a 50% tax on bonuses for bankers. There have been calls for similar measures in the United States. Unemployment rates are the highest in a generation, 10% nationally in November. An estimated 17% of the labor force either lacks a job or is not working enough to pay all the bills. The weak job market has not only hurt spending, the lifeblood of the economy, it also puts pressure on homeowners who are struggling to pay their mortgage loans. Record numbers have been told that they could lose their homes. Banks are expected to have sent almost 4 million foreclosure notices this year. Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 5.
Economists generally wait for production to shrink for 6 months in a row before they declare a recession. But the Bureau, a private group, uses a wider set of information to measure the economy. The news only confirmed what many people already knew, that the world's largest economy is weak and may not recover soon. Worsening conditions have led to a big drop in spending, especially on costly products like new cars. Even Japanese automaker Toyota saw its sales fall 34% in the United States in November from a year ago. The heads of Chrysler, Ford, and General Motors returned to Congress this week to again ask for federal aid. Congressional leaders denounced them 2 weeks ago after they came in private jets with no clear plans for saving their industry. This time, the chiefs drove to Washington in fuel-saving hybrid vehicles, and their companies presented detailed restructuring plans. The request for aid has risen from $25 billion 2 weeks ago to $34 billion in loans and credit lines.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
Economists generally wait for production to shrink for 6 months in a row before they declare a recession. But the Bureau, a private group, uses a wider set of information to measure the economy. The news only confirmed what many people already knew, that the world's largest economy is weak and may not recover soon. Worsening conditions have led to a big drop in spending, especially on costly products like new cars. Even Japanese automaker Toyota saw its sales fall 34% in the United States in November from a year ago. The heads of Chrysler, Ford, and General Motors returned to Congress this week to again ask for federal aid. Congressional leaders denounced them 2 weeks ago after they came in private jets with no clear plans for saving their industry. This time, the chiefs drove to Washington in fuel-saving hybrid vehicles, and their companies presented detailed restructuring plans. The request for aid has risen from $25 billion 2 weeks ago to $34 billion in loans and credit lines. Task 4. Now listen to a long conversation and answer questions 7 to 8.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Rupert.
I'm so glad that you will renew your order to import frozen pork from us this year.
Frozen pork is in high demand in our country.
May I know your approximate annual demand for the coming year?
Let's come to it before we talk about one thing. Is that we'd like to modify the inspection clause.
What's wrong with it?
I'm sorry to tell you that some of the pork you sent us last year didn't reach the standard you had promised. We hope that in the coming year, the grade of quality shall be determined by our inspection institutes.
What do you mean by saying this? Do you have any evidence to prove that the pork is disqualified?
Well, we didn't check each dispatch, but we have the impression that the pork wasn't up to our standards after we inspected several dispatches.
I'm afraid you cannot base your judgment on your impression, and we can't accept your demand to modify the inspection clause.
Well, the point is that the quality of all our meat imports is determined by our inspection institutes, and their certificates are regarded as final.
That's it. Then who will inspect your exports to us?
We can do it.
I don't think it's fair.
We usually carry out our trade with other countries in this way.
Well, we insist that our trade with foreign countries should be done on the basis of equality and mutual benefit. We don't want to impose any unequal conditions on you. On the other hand, we'll by no means accept any unfair terms.
Well, I think I'd better talk with my boss about this first, and then we'll fax you our final decision. Now listen to the conversation again and answer questions 9 to 12.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Rupert.
I'm so glad that you will renew your order to import frozen pork from us this year.
Frozen pork is in high demand in our country.
May I know your approximate annual demand for the coming year?
Let's come to it before we talk about one thing. Is that we'd like to modify the inspection clause.
What's wrong with it?
I'm sorry to tell you that some of the pork you sent us last year didn't reach the standard you had promised. We hope that in the coming year, the grade of quality shall be determined by our inspection institutes.
What do you mean by saying this? Do you have any evidence to prove that the pork is disqualified?
Well, we didn't check each dispatch, but we have the impression that the pork wasn't up to our standards after we inspected several dispatches.
I'm afraid you cannot base your judgment on your impression, and we can't accept your demand to modify the inspection clause.
Well, the point is that the quality of all our meat imports is determined by our inspection institutes, and their certificates are regarded as final.
That's it. Then who will inspect your exports to us?
We can do it.
I don't think it's fair.
We usually carry out our trade with other countries in this way.
Well, we insist that our trade with foreign countries should be done on the basis of equality and mutual benefit. We don't want to impose any unequal conditions on you. On the other hand, we'll by no means accept any unfair terms.
Well, I think I'd better talk with my boss about this first, and then we'll fax you our final decision. Task 5. Now listen to a passage and answer questions 13 to 14.
Yesterday, the House of Representatives passed a historic piece of legislation that will open the door to a clean energy economy and a better future for America. For more than 3 decades, we have talked about our dependence on foreign oil. And for more than 3 decades, we have seen that dependence grow. We have seen our reliance on fossil fuels jeopardize our national security. We have seen it pollute the air we breathe and endanger our planet. And most of all, we have seen other countries realize a critical truth. The nation that leads in the creation of a clean energy economy will be the nation that leads the 21st century global economy. Now is the time for the United States of America to realize this too. Now is the time for us to lead. The energy bill that passed the House will finally create a set of incentives that will spark a clean energy transformation in our economy. It will spur the development of low-carbon sources of energy, everything from wind, solar, and geothermal power to safer nuclear energy and cleaner coal. It will spur new energy savings, like the efficient windows and other materials that reduce heating costs in winter and cooling costs in the summer. And most importantly, it will make possible the creation of millions of new jobs. Make no mistake, this is a jobs bill. We're already seeing why this is true in the clean energy investments we're making through the Recovery Act. In California, 3,000 people will be employed to build a new solar plant that will create 1,000 permanent jobs. In Michigan, investment in wind turbines and wind technology is expected to create over 2,600 jobs. In Florida, three new solar projects are expected to employ 1,400 people. The list goes on and on, but the point is this. This legislation will finally make clean energy the profitable kind of energy. That will lead to the creation of new businesses and entire new industries. And that will lead to American jobs that pay well and cannot be outsourced. I have often talked about the need to build a new foundation for economic growth so that we do not return to the endless cycle of bubble and bust that led us to this recession. Clean energy and the jobs it creates will be absolutely critical to this new foundation. We have been talking about energy for decades, but there is no longer a disagreement over whether our dependence on foreign oil is endangering our security. It is. There is no longer a debate about whether carbon pollution is placing our planet in jeopardy. It's happening. And there is no longer a question about whether the jobs and industries of the 21st century will be centered around clean, renewable energy. The question is, which country will create these jobs and these industries? I want that answer to be the United States of America. And I believe that the American people and the men and women they sent to Congress share that view. So I want to congratulate the House for passing this bill. And I want to urge the Senate to take this opportunity to come together and meet our obligations to our constituents, to our children, to God's creation, and to future generations.
Now listen to the passage again and answer questions 15 to 18.
Yesterday, the House of Representatives passed a historic piece of legislation that will open the door to a clean energy economy and a better future for America. For more than three decades, we have talked about our dependence on foreign oil. And for more than three decades, we have seen that dependence grow. We have seen our reliance on fossil fuels jeopardize our national security. We have seen it pollute the air we breathe and endanger our planet. And most of all, we have seen other countries realize a critical truth. The nation that leads in the creation of a clean energy economy will be the nation that leads the 21st century global economy. Now is the time for the United States of America to realize this too. Now is the time for us to lead. The energy bill that passed the House will finally create a set of incentives that will spark a clean energy transformation in our economy. It will spur the development of low-carbon sources of energy, everything from wind, solar, and geothermal power to safer nuclear energy and cleaner coal. It will spur new energy savings, like the efficient windows and other materials that reduce heating costs in winter and cooling costs in the summer. And most importantly, it will make possible the creation of millions of new jobs. Make no mistake, this is a jobs bill. We're already seeing why this is true in the clean energy investments we're making through the Recovery Act. In California, 3,000 people will be employed to build a new solar plant that will create 1,000 permanent jobs. In Michigan, investment in wind turbines and wind technology is expected to create over 2,600 jobs. In Florida, three new solar projects are expected to employ 1,400 people. The list goes on and on, but the point is this. This legislation will finally make clean energy the profitable kind of energy. That will lead to the creation of new businesses and entire new industries. And that will lead to American jobs that pay well and cannot be outsourced. I have often talked about the need to build a new foundation for economic growth so that we do not return to the endless cycle of bubble and bust that led us to this recession. Clean energy and the jobs it creates will be absolutely critical to this new foundation. We have been talking about energy for decades, but there is no longer a disagreement over whether our dependence on foreign oil is endangering our security. It is. There is no longer a debate about whether carbon pollution is placing our planet in jeopardy. It's happening. And there is no longer a question about whether the jobs and industries of the 21st century will be centered around clean, renewable energy. The question is, which country will create these jobs and these industries? I want that answer to be the United States of America. And I believe that the American people and the men and women they sent to Congress share that view. So I want to congratulate the House for passing this bill. And I want to urge the Senate to take this opportunity to come together and meet our obligations to our constituents, to our children, to God's creation, and to future generations.
Section B, Listening-Based Integrated Tasks. This week, George W. Bush gave his seventh and final State of the Union message to Congress and the American people. The President spoke at length about some of the issues that his presidency is likely to be remembered for. He talked about the war in Iraq and his decision to send 30,000 more troops there last year.
Some may deny the surge is working, but among the terrorists there is no doubt. Al-Qaeda is on the run in Iraq, and this enemy will be defeated.
President Bush spent almost half the nearly one-hour speech talking about foreign policy, especially in the Middle East. He talked about his hopes for an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement, and he directed comments to the leaders of Iran.
Come clean about your nuclear intentions and past actions. Stop your oppression at home and cease your support for terror abroad. But above all, know this. America will confront those who threaten our troops. We will stand by our allies, and we will defend our vital interests in the Persian Gulf.
The President also talked about the American economy and widespread concern about the nation's economic future.
In the long run, Americans can be confident about our economic growth. But in the short run, we can all see that growth is slowing.
He noted in his speech on Monday that America has added jobs for a record 52 straight months. But that record is now ended. On Friday, the Labor Department reported that the economy lost 17,000 jobs in January. Reacting to the report, Minister Bush said the economy is still basically strong, but going through a rough time right now. He called on the Senate to quickly pass a growth plan approved earlier this week by the House. Senate Democrats, though, want to add other measures to the plan. In his final State of the Union address, President Bush offered few new proposals for his 11 months left in office. The Constitution limits presidents to 2 terms, and for the past year, the Republican president has faced a Congress led by Democrats. Both have low public approval ratings. One new proposal in his speech was to spend $300 million providing education money to families of poor children. He also urged lawmakers to renew his education law, known as No Child Left Behind. And he talked again about his desire for immigration reform and changes in the Social Security program. Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius gave the Democratic response to the speech. Tonight's address begins the final year of this presidency, with new leaders on the horizon and uncertainty throughout our land. Conditions we face at home and abroad are results of choices made and challenges unmet. This coming Tuesday, almost half the states will hold elections to help choose the Democratic and Republican presidential nominees. On Monday, the program This is America will look at the campaign, the candidates, and the process for choosing a president. This week, George W. Bush gave his seventh and final State of the Union message to Congress and the American people. The president spoke at length about some of the issues that his presidency is likely to be remembered for. He talked about the war in Iraq and his decision to send 30,000 more troops there last year.
Some may deny the surge is working, but among the terrorists, there is no doubt. Al-Qaeda is on the run in Iraq, and this enemy will be defeated.
President Bush spent almost half the nearly one-hour speech talking about foreign policy, especially in the Middle East. He talked about his hopes for an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement, and he directed comments to the leaders of Iran.
Come clean about your nuclear intentions and past actions. Stop your oppression at home and cease your support for terror abroad. But above all, know this. America will confront those who threaten our troops. We will stand by our allies, and we will defend our vital interests in the Persian Gulf.
The president also talked about the American economy and widespread concern about the nation's economic future.
In the long run, Americans can be confident about our economic growth. But in the short run, we can all see that growth is slowing.
He noted in his speech on Monday that America has added jobs for a record 52 straight months. But that record is now ended. On Friday, the Labor Department reported that the economy lost 17,000 jobs in January. Reacting to the report, Minister Bush said the economy is still basically strong, but going through a rough time right now. He called on the Senate to quickly pass a growth plan approved earlier this week by the House. Senate Democrats, though, want to add other measures to the plan. In his final State of the Union address, President Bush offered few new proposals for his 11 months left in office. The Constitution limits presidents to 2 terms, and for the past year, the Republican president has faced a Congress led by Democrats. Both have low public approval ratings. One new proposal in his speech was to spend $300 million providing education money to families of poor children. He also urged lawmakers to renew his education law, known as No Child Left Behind. And he talked again about his desire for immigration reform and changes in the Social Security program. Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius gave the Democratic response to the speech. Tonight's address begins the final year of this presidency, with new leaders on the horizon and uncertainty throughout our land. Conditions we face at home and abroad are results of choices made and challenges unmet. This coming Tuesday, almost half the states will hold elections to help choose the Democratic and Republican presidential nominees. On Monday, the program This is America will look at the campaign, the candidates, and the process for choosing a president.